Thank you. Appreciate where we're going with all this. More to come. So I think I'm going to touch on this pick a little bit and then short what I intended to finish in a little larger way. But about a couple of minutes on the external evidence, and then I'm going to move to a little bit on Zechariah. And then a little more on a couple of other items that came to mind as I was listening to Larry. And it's nice when the conversation you see can directly connect and intersect with what's really happening on the ground here. And this is what I mentioned. I wanted to mention one of the early Christian leaders was a gentleman by the name of Papias. And his dates were 130, born 130 A.D., and he died, born 70 A.D., Papias, P-A-P-I-A-S, Papias, born 70 A.D., and he died 163 A.D. Now that tells you something, you see, in terms of, and so he knew the Apostle John personally. And their lives overlapped by 30 years or more. But anyway, he was a companion to Polycarp, and he was another hearer of John. I'm quoting from Irenaeus' words. Irenaeus, who was a contemporary, you see, of Polycarp and Papias, he overlapped about 30 years with him. You see, that's quite significant. Young man, yes, but nonetheless dedicated and born to Christian parents and so forth. Irenaeus regarded the memory of Polycarp as a link to the apostolic past. He relates how and when he became a Christian, and in his letter to Florinus, he stated how that he saw and heard Polycarp personally in Lower Asia, etc. He heard the account of Polycarp's discussion with John and with others who had seen Jesus. So the idea is to give a little more history now. I'm going to come over to Zechariah. It's very interesting. The different take we have on this. It's approximate in some ways, but different in some other ways. I'm going to have you. I'll put before you from Zechariah chapter 13, and the day. In that day, rather than we see this as the first advent. So obviously the first advent, the coming of Jesus, Messiah, and in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David. So Jesus, one of the messianic titles, the son of David, you see, Messiah, messianic title. And for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. It shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they shall no longer be remembered. And I will also cause the prophets, notice this very, very carefully, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to depart from the land. These prophets, you see, were false prophets. They weren't holy prophets. They weren't prophets of God. Okay? So I'm going to back up and show something to you that you may be familiar with, you may not be familiar with. And I'm going to have you go with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Here's a prophecy. You tell me when I finish reading it, was it fulfilled? So Isaiah, that is Zechariah chapter 8, and we're looking at verse 20 through 23, the balance of that chapter. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Who's speaking? The Lord of hosts. Peoples, this is the prophecy, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another and say, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord, before Yahweh, and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Verse 22, yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. And yes, peoples, down to verse 23, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that that God is with you. Okay, was this prophecy fulfilled? No. It doesn't say it was conditional here, but if you back up to Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 15, 6:15, there's a conditionality here. And this is kind of fascinating. We don't have much time to go into it, but verse 15 of chapter 6 says, even those who are far away shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, that's Jesus, by the way, the pre-incarnate Jesus, that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if, that's a big word, that word if, it's conditional, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. And so they didn't. Had the Jews been faithful to receive Jesus and been there to worship him when he came, you see, and had room for him rather than in a barn, you see. You see, the prophecies in the Old Testament are such that they largely say they were going to be rejected, but there were prophecies like this that say that the Jews could have. They weren't programmed automatically to reject him. They could have. Had they chosen, they could have received him and celebrated his birth, and yes, he would have died. But he wouldn't have died on the cross. He would have died in the Garden of Gethsemane with them holding Jesus in their arms, bleeding, shedding his blood for them, dying for them. That's something you probably never heard. But maybe you have. But the conditionality here, and this conditionality comes right over to the passage that we had earlier in terms of chapter 13. That's essentially what I have to say on that. I want to move now to another question, another observation in terms of layers. And that would be the question of the book of Revelation when it uses words like shortly and near and so forth. I want to have you go with me to, so we know those verses, Revelation chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'll open that. I think we have time to enjoy putting this right in front of us. And we're looking at verse 1 following. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. All right, what does that mean? Shortly take place. When does shortly not mean shortly? Yes, I know that would be the comeback. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony. Down to verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is near. Okay? So the question, how near is near? I want to have you note something. Haggai, let's see, where is Haggai? There we go. Right in front of Zechariah. And the book of Haggai was written 520 B.C., 520 B.C., and I'm going to take you to a messianic prophecy from the Old Testament, from Haggai, messianic, predicting the Messiah, predicting Jesus coming, his first advent. So we're looking at Haggai chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, and it reads this way, according to the word which I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, who's speaking? The Lord of hosts, God. Once more, what do you see there next? Once more, it is a little while, in parentheses, it's in the Hebrew, I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and the dry lands. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And who's that? That's Jesus Christ. That's God incarnate. And they shall come to the desire of nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. You remember Jesus when he went in the temple, he said, there's one that's greater than the temple who's here. You know, when Jesus came, John said he came to tabernacle among, to dwell among us. The Greek word for dwell is tabernacle. It's a tabernacle, it's a temple among us. God in the flesh. Tear down this temple. You know, he talked about the temple being himself, didn't he? The temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was speaking of his own person in the crucifixion. And, you know, those who were watching to catch him thought he meant to somehow destroy the temple in the city of Jerusalem. So, but anyway, in verse 6, so a little while in verse 6 is 550 years. All right? So time is relative. You know, we have to be very careful how we bring to bear our way of thinking about time and the passing of time on the scripture itself. So, something to think about, right? I hope so. Now, look at this. Matthew 25. We're going to go to some of the parables. Matthew 25, and we're looking at 5 and 6. Let me get there with you. Matthew 25:5-6. Here we go. Interesting. It's going to talk about a delay. It's going to talk about a delay in these parables. In them, there's more. I'll come to a little further on that. And so we have 25:5-6. But while the bridegroom was delayed, who's the bridegroom? It's Jesus. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go you out to meet him." Okay, run over to verses 14 and 19, same chapter, Matthew 25:14-19. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them," and so forth. And if you drop down to verse 19, and after, you know, he turns the, you know, the property over to them and so forth, he gives them the talents and so forth, and he goes away. And it says what in 19, "And after a long time," there's a parable of Jesus. It's a parable of Jesus. And he goes away, you see. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. quite something. So now let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're looking at verses 10-12. 2 Peter chapter 3. All right. There we go. Chapter 3:10-12. Interesting, fascinating. Verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the earthworks therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Verse 12. There's a key word in that verse. Do you see it? "And looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God." All right, the believers on this earth can do things to hasten the day. And if we can hasten the day, we can also fail to do those things and what? Delay the day. It goes without saying. If we have the potential to bring about the hastening of the day of the Lord, we also can neglect to do that. And that's where we are. Okay, now, Matthew 24:48. Another parable, and looking at verse 24:48, here we go. And it says, this is that story about the evil servant, the faithful servant, and the evil servant. In 48, and the evil servant does what? You know, he says in his heart, see verse 48, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,'" and then he becomes mean-spirited, you see, in the delay, in the presumption that he had time to do things that were unconscionable. okay, so another point to the matter of a delay. And this is our temptation, you see, to think of, it's the common temptation for sleepy Christians or Laodicean Christians, lukewarm Christians, to presume they have more time than they do. And thus, the language here is meant to speak to them. One more text on this. Habakkuk. I'm one of those children who grew up in a church where we never studied the Bible very much personally. And my wife, she had the blessing of, we call it Sabbath school or Sunday school. So the blessing of being taught from the very beginning. Habakkuk. Okay. Right after Nahum. Okay, now, Habakkuk 2. It's such a precious place. It's the Lord bending over to people who are struggling with questions and so forth. It says in verse 1, "I will stand by my watch, I will set myself on the rampart, and watch to see," this is Habakkuk talking, he's got some complaints against the Lord, and he presents his complaint, his questions and so forth. "I'm going to watch and see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am reproved." So he anticipated that. So look at verse 2. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, even though there's been a delay, it seems, at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, interesting word, that word tarry, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And the implication there is it will not tarry indefinitely. The day of the Lord will come. All right, 30 seconds left. Well, one question, you can be thinking about this. I know all Church of Christ don't exactly believe all the same things, but is it the belief of the Church of Christ that the apostles expected and taught that Jesus would return in their lifetime? That's the question I don't quite have the answer to. Maybe Larry could address that. Did they believe and teach that Jesus would come in their lifetime? All right, thank you.